Thank you to Wyatt. We appreciate all of you joining together this morning in these great hymns of faith as we were rejoicing together and thanking God for His great love. You know, I hope that you've already bought your wife a Valentine gift. It's coming up on Wednesday. And if you haven't done that, I hope you'll do that. I appreciate my wife. And, you know, I've never really understood why Cupid was chosen to represent Valentine's Day. I'll tell you why. When I think about romance, the last thing on my mind is a short, chubby toddler coming at me with a medieval weapon. But that's not my idea of romance. But make sure that you make your mate feel loved. There was a woman one time who said, "I can't be your Valentine for medical reasons." And he said, "Oh, really? Why?" And she said, "You make me sick." Well, that may be the case with some of you as well. But I hope not. I hope not. You know, we always talk about a person's IQ. Have you ever checked your IQ to see how high your IQ is? Or what about your EQ? Anybody in here know what the EQ is? Nobody. Well, that's great. I'm going to be able to teach you something this morning. The IQ is the intellectual quotient. We all want a high IQ. We want to make sure that we have a lot of knowledge. We want to be intellectual. But the EQ is important also because that is your emotional quotient. That is, if you have a high emotional quotient, then you are emotionally stable. But what about the LQ? Anybody in here know what the LQ is? It is the love quotient. It is. But how high is your love quotient this morning? What is your EQ, your emotional level? What is your love quotient, honestly, this morning, if I were to ask you that question? Well, we all know about our IQ. Sometimes it's not very high. Sometimes it's not as high as we'd like for it to be if you really measure it and try to determine what it is. We don't. I won't even ask you this one. This one's going to be too tough for you on your IQ. I'll do it tonight. But you know what? People take IQ tests all the time. I took one the other day on the internet. I'm not going to give you the results. I don't know about my EQ, but I know one thing, that all of us want to be stable in our life. Psychologists use many devices, they do, to measure one's character and his ability. And one of these is called the EQ. And it really does stand for your emotional quotient. And there are a lot of factors that are involved. How do you handle emotionally trauma at the workplace? How do you handle trauma in your marriage or in your relationship, not only with your wife, your husband, your children, but maybe even with your friends when you go through struggles in life? The point being made is that our EQ is a more accurate guide in deciding our potential success in life than really the IQ. It is true. But what about the love quotient? What does love really have to do with it? Well, we all understand the importance of it. Jesus taught us to love. Paul, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and following, describes love as something that is so important. He says if we really want to succeed in life and if we want to have a relationship with God, we have to be a people that love. For he says, "For you were once called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn away and turn your freedom into an opportunity to the flesh. But through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, Think about it. In the statement that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus said that is the second commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the reason Jesus said that is based upon his words in John 13:35. He said, "By this men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Now, Jesus was really making the observation that it wasn't your IQ or your EQ that determines your identity as a disciple of Jesus Christ, but rather it is a barometer, it is a measurement of whether or not you have love. That determines your faith, and it determines the relationship that we ought to have with our Maker. But what does the love quotient prove? Well, it proves your faith is sincere, doesn't it? James says that faith without works is dead, being alone. He is saying what Paul said back in Galatians 5 and verse 6, that faith, listen, faith works through a person's love. Faith is an invisible thing. How do you describe faith? Well, let me give you a biblical definition of it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Our faith really becomes visible when it takes on a tangible form of love of some kind. That is, God revealed himself to us. God didn't just say, "I love you." He didn't just say it with words, and words are so important. We have to tell one another that we love them. And we need to tell God that we love him. That's why we were singing these great songs on love a moment ago. It's our way of saying to God how much we love him. And it takes on a tangible form. God didn't say, "I just want you to accept that I love you by faith." He shows us that he loves us. And in John 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. It is a very visible expression of his invisible self. Isn't that amazing? We can't really see God, but we can see the creativity of God. David said, "The earth showeth forth his handiwork, and the heavens declare the glory of God." But the love quotient measures the conditions of one's faith, but it also reveals the condition of a person's heart. The Bible says, "For out of the heart flow the issues of life. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he," King Solomon said. In the book of 1 John 4, verse 16 through 21, John explains five reasons why a person who loves also feels good. Now, let me tell you something this morning. If you came into this building and you didn't feel good, I'm going to tell you that you can leave this building feeling good if you can learn to love like God has asked us to love him. How can we feel good? And what does love really do? Number one, love draws us near to God. And the Bible says that God is love. And he who does not love God does not know God. What is your goal in life? Let me ask you that question this morning. Is it to have a home, a family, maybe be physically fit, to be spiritual, to experience a degree of personal growth, to develop your EQ and your IQ and hopefully your LQ as well? Is it to develop a relationship with someone else? I hope that it is. But we need to be building a relationship with God at the center of our life. All those other things are wonderful. But I'm going to tell you something. If God is not at the center of your life, you are destined to fail. James says to draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto you. James 4 and verse 8. And it is the best way in the world to draw near to God is to love him like he loves us. Have you ever noticed in your life how wonderful you really feel when you feel close to God? I mean, I do. When I feel close to God, I feel good in my life. There is a degree of confidence that I don't have at any other time. There is a peace that Paul describes as something that surpasses our understanding. It's so hard for us to describe it to someone else. Oh, you can say, I feel peace in my heart right now. How do you describe that to someone who can't see it? But we feel the peace of God. We have joy in our hearts. But you can't see that joy in my heart unless I express it in some way. We do it in song. We do it in words. We have to increase our love quotient. You know, it's something people never really think about. They're always talking about building their IQ, making it better, becoming a much more stable, emotional person. But you know what? We ought to work just as hard and even harder every day to be a person of love, a person that loves God more tomorrow than he did today, a person that loves God today more than he did yesterday, and a person who loves others in the same way. But let me tell you something else about love, and that is the LQ. Love removes our fears. If I were to ask you this morning, how many of you are fearful? I can assure you, if you were honest, you'd say, well, about what? And I'd say, about anything. You know what? You're going to raise your hand about something. You may be fearful about losing your job. You may be fearful about what may go on with North Korea. You may be fearful over your children, what's going to happen to them. You may be fearful about a lot of things. Maybe you're fearful of going to hell. But you know what? The Bible teaches us that love conquers all fear. For Paul in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. And he goes on to say that true love casteth out all fears. It removes them all. We need to be a people that do not live in fear, but most people live right over there. They do. They live in fear of what might happen tomorrow. We have to be a people that rise above that and experience less fear. And I'll tell you something, the more your LQ increases, the less you will feel fear and apprehension in your life, regardless of what it is. There is no fear in love. 1 John 4:18 says, but perfect love casteth out all fear. John says, for those who love, there is no fear of death or condemnation or even punishment. Am I fearful of going to hell? No, because I have a relationship with God and I feel close to God. And I know God feels close to me. And you know what? Everybody ought to feel that way. But what is the connection? It's the love connection. It is. You know, love really is a connection. It keeps us close to God. It does. You sever the connection, hey, you're going to have all kinds of abnormal fears. You're going to be going back out into the world again, living like the devil instead of living like God. But there must be a love connection between God and man. And it is a lasting love connection. Let me illustrate something or share something with you this morning that you may never really think about too much. That connection is there as long as we love God and honor Him. Now, there's some people that teach, well, once you become a Christian and you develop a love connection, that love connection will always be there and you could never break the love connection. You could never lose your salvation. And they say you could never fall from grace. Untrue. Peter said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 20, that a man can fall from grace. He's like the dog that returns to its own vomit after he's been cleaned up. And the sow that goes back out and wallows in that mire from which she has been cleaned up. He says that's the way sometimes Christians are. They're cleaned up by the blood of Jesus, but then they go back out into the world and they start living like the devil because they have broken the love connection. Now here's the thing. The connection wasn't broken by God. Does God still love us? Absolutely. He loved us before we became Christians, and He will love us after we become Christians. Even if we go astray, He still loves us. For the book of Romans 5 and verse 8 says that God commendeth His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But the love connection is broken by you and me oftentimes. We sever the connection when we don't stay close to God. For God so loved the world. He did, and He still does. Loving is a spiritual thing. It's acting out one's spiritual nature. Did you know that God created you to love? He did. He created you to love Him. He created you to love others. Well, where did hate come from? I'll tell you where hate came from. Hate is demonic, and it comes from hell. And the devil teaches us to hate, to say, hey, I don't believe in God. But David said in Psalms 14 and verse 1 that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. But there are a lot of people that deny the existence of God today. And that there are a lot of people that fail to act out their spiritual nature, which came from God, and that is love. God made us to love Him, but sin broke the connection. The more one loves God, the more one is following the Spirit. I want you to get that. And the more one follows the Spirit, the more one is aware of and has confidence in the kingdom of God and His loving grace. It is love. Love is so important. Have you ever thought about all the great songs that have been written about love? We've sung a number of them right here, but there are a lot of them, Dwight, in our songbook on the subject of love. Think about the pop charts, the country charts. I'm going to tell you something. More songs have been written about love. Mind you, some of them are a little bit strange. But here's a quarter, call someone who cares. But a lot of songs that tell us about love. Love opens one's eyes to see the real spiritual world. And love opens one's heart to see the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And it opens a person's hope to the reality of heaven. And listen, the temporariness of this earth. We're only here for a short time. But people who love do not have fear in their hearts because God has filled their hearts with His love. But thirdly, what does love do? Love produces gratitude. You know what? You know why people express gratitude? Because they have a deep love. And gratitude is shown in many, many ways. It's seen by cards, it's seen by flowers, it's seen by candy. That is, if your wife's not on a diet. But it's seen in a lot of ways, isn't it? Just simple, I love you. It produces gratitude, and those expressions are saying to someone, I really appreciate you very much, and my heart beats for you. And our heart ought to beat for one another. You know what? We ought to be a people that get in the habit of just simply saying, thank you. Thank you. You know, sometimes that is such a trite statement. It is trite because sometimes people just say it flippantly and, you know, there's no depth to what they say. But I'm telling you, when we learn to love like God loves and our love quotient is where it ought to be, it just comes natural for us to say thank you or to say, hey, thanks. In the book of 1 John 4 and verse 19, do you know the Bible says that we love Him, that is God? When the Bible talks about God, God is love. We love Him because He first loved us. It wasn't the other way around that we loved, and so now God's going to love us because we love Him. But we love him, John says, because he first loved us. And if you read Psalms 100 in verse 4, the Bible says that we are to enter into his courts or gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And that is gratitude. I will praise you as long as I live, David said in Psalms 63 and verse 4. And you know what? All the time. Round the clock. Never should there be a time when we cease to tell other people how much they mean to us and how grateful we are. And you know what? We ought to tell God all the time everything. For in the book of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Notice this. He didn't say for everything. I think we ought to do it too. But he says in everything. When things are going good, give him thanks. When things are going bad, give him thanks. When you don't know what's happening around you, give him thanks. When you don't understand life and the ongoings of the things that are taking place in your own life personally, you give him thanks. Someone said it this way. I like this. Inhale love and exhale gratitude. But you know what? If you really inhale love, you will exhale gratitude. You will. But Jesus' love produced a new kind of love, and that is the love of God. And this love of God produced the beautiful spiritual fruit of gratitude. Because he loved us, you and I are filled with gratitude and praise and thanksgiving. A lot of people always celebrate Thanksgiving every year in November. Have you ever noticed that? Even the ungrateful world, the people that could care less about God, always pause once a year to say thanks. Whether they mean it or not, they do. But we ought to be filled with God's love. And we ought to say to God every day, thank you, God. Thank you. Many people have a love quotient. And let me stress this morning. It's so important. A lot of people have a love quotient, and it embraces the love of family, and that's a wonderful thing. It embraces a love for your friends. I have a lot of friends, and I'm thankful for every one of them. I mean it. It embraces your love for pleasure. There's nothing wrong with that. God wants us to have pleasure. The Bible says if a man would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Not anything wrong with enjoying life. I believe God intends for us to do it. We have a love for country and a love for high ideals, and we embrace all of those. But you know what? We ought to love God more than all of it. And you know what? God wants you to prove your love. And I'll say it again. A grateful heart is a contented heart. A contented heart is one that has stopped worrying and is so anxious about what is going on in our world. You know what I did this last week, and I hadn't done it in a long time? Because I'm a Fox News man. I turned on the television, and I watch Fox. Sometimes I'll flip over to the sinful CNN. But occasionally, I will watch a little both of them. And for the last 2 days, I have not watched the news. I have no idea what is going on. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm more at peace today than I have been in 2 days. People can get addicted to the news just like they can get addicted to soap operas. You ladies listening? You can. You men listening. Sometimes we worry about things we are powerless to change. We need a high LQ. But there's a fourth thing that love does. Love guides us through life, according to verses 20 and 21. And most of all, love will guide your life. And we should let it. The conditions of your heart will dictate what you say and what you do. How many times have you heard people say, "Oh, I know I said that, but I didn't mean anything by it." Sure you meant it. I'm no idiot. You may think it, but I'm not. And if you said it, you meant it. It came out of your heart. But the Bible says, "For out of the heart the mouth speaketh." In Matthew 12 and 34, the mouth speaks, Jesus says, out of that which fills your heart. And if my heart is filled with love, it is no effort, no work, no real grand achievement to love my brother and sister in the Lord. It is simply, as I said a moment ago, an extension of my natural personality that God gave me. And I can tell you, you will see, if you do that, you will see your LQ working. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3 and verse 11. Listen to what Christ said about love. Important. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You must also love one another." John 13 and 34. And you know what? When I think about love, I have learned that what goes around comes back around. What's that song old Willie Nelson sings, "A Little Old Karma Coming Down"? Simple words, but powerful. Do bad, and it will hit you 10 times worse. Do good, and it will come back to you 100 times better. For you reap what you sow in life, Paul says in the book of Galatians, chapter 6. When people don't feel good about themselves, people who seem to go from one conflict to another, and you know what I'm talking about, there are people that live like that. They stir up trouble, and they're going from one conflict. They'll leave this, and they'll go to a conflict here, and they'll go to a conflict across town. All that kind of happens. You know what? They need to check their own personal love quotient. And let me tell you about a love quotient. Love quotient is not just going around hugging someone, or it's not just going around being affectionate all the time. It is much, much deeper than that. Sometimes words convey more love than a touch. And so before finding fault with our partners, with our mates, we need to really have a deep love. More love will usually heal and build one up, and it makes life much more enjoyable, doesn't it? But it usually starts with increasing our love quotient. And not by feeling, "Well, everybody has to love me." You know what? You'll find the world is much, much better when you go around trying to love more instead of feeling that everybody ought to love you more. That's true. Someone said, "Lord, lead me, guide me, and walk beside me." And that ought to be a prayer that we pray every day. But last of all, love reflects God's attitude toward me. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John 14 and verse 15. In the end, God will not measure how smart we were, or how well we were able to cope with the world, or the problems that are going on in our life. But when we stand before Him in the hour of judgment, go to the book of Matthew 25 and read verse 31 through 46, and you will find out the basis for your judgment and mine. And it will all hinge on whether or not we have loved God with all of our heart, and whether we have loved one another. God will be looking for those who loved His Son Jesus and showed their love by serving others in His name. And at the evening of life, we will be judged by our love. If we're saved by the love of God, I'm going to tell you something. We will be unsaved or lost by our lack of it. What is your love quotient? If you're not a Christian, Let me tell you, one of the ways that you manifest your love for God is becoming obedient to the gospel. God says, you want to show me you love me? Hear my word. Believe it. Turn from your sin through repentance. And acknowledge me as your Lord and Savior by confessing Jesus to be God's Son. And by being baptized into Christ, it's the expression of our love to God. You know, we know it's the remission of our sins that takes place, but I'm going to tell you something. When a man yields his body to be buried with Christ in baptism, I'm going to tell you, that's a great act of love. When a person can humble himself, and when that person can remain faithful all the days of his life, according to what Jesus said in Revelation 2 in verse 10. And let me say something to the church this morning. When the Apostle Peter wrote to the church, he wrote this stern warning about their lack of love. And he says, for it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? You see, we're talking about a serious issue this morning. Love's not a flippant word. We toss it around like it is. But love is very deep. I would challenge each of you today to give up who you've been for who you can become. A person of love. A one who has conquered all things through the blood of Christ. And who receives the forgiveness of sins freely by the grace of our Lord Jesus. You know, I'm so thankful that God moves upon the hearts of men and they become obedient to that faith. 11 over the last month have been baptized into Christ at this place, whose hearts have been touched by the power of this book. It's still the power, Romans 1:16. Would you let it be a power for you this morning? If you're not a Christian, would you come showing your love to God by your obedient faith? And would you, as a Christian, acknowledge it in a greater way if you have strayed away from the Lord? By rededicating your life to Christ this moment, this hour, right now, while we stand and while we sing.